You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. Today is Friday, March 3rd, 2017. It is our fifth and final episode of the week. We'll be back next week, though, with brand new episodes from Monday through Friday, just like we're here every week. So, obviously, Clippers get blown out by the Rockets on Wednesday. Now they're going to play again tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks to maybe try to bounce back from that as much as they can. And, you know, there's some different seeding stuff going on that I want to talk about. Talk a little bit about the Bucks game. Talk about a reader email that will kind of link me into talking a little bit about the Clippers-Rockets game and sort of the team. And then talk about the basically the mood around the team and the fan base. I might actually start with that. Just to head off the podcast. So, yeah, that's what we'll get into today. And I do think, I know I say this all the time, right? I really do think this is going to be one of the shorter episodes just because that's the mood that I'm in today. You know, I always feel like chatting about the Clippers with everyone in my life to the point that they all hate me for it. But, right now tonight, just, you know, the vibe is so bad after that Rockets loss. And so that's a good reason, I think, to talk about this first. And this being the mood around the team and around the fan, not really around the team so much. I don't know what that mood is. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not covering the team on a day-to-day basis in the press room. I don't know what the mood is. But I can tell you what the mood on the fan base is, because a lot of people seem to know what my Twitter handle is, and so I hear from a lot of fans, and I actually haven't even ventured into the Clips Nation thread, which has been one of our more active regular season game threads this year, because, you know, I had one Clips Nation contributor text me that the thread was a nightmare, and I'm inclined to believe it, because I know how people get when the Clippers play poorly and when they play uninspired, and that's fair. You know, it's fair for fans to get upset. It's fair for fans to be volatile and up and down. That's not who I am as a Clippers fan. I don't scream at the TV when we win, and I don't scream at the TV when we lose. I get frustrated at times, and I might, you know, say, you know, I mean, you guys have heard me on shows when I've been frustrated and shows when I've clearly been happy and excited. I'm not so frustrated today, maybe, as everyone else is, because, you know, this is where we are in the season, and, okay, the Clippers aren't going to make that passionate push for the third seed that I was excited about, but that's not like I'm, you know, I'm not ripping up my fan card like I seem to see some people doing on Twitter. But so I'm just going to say, briefly, when we started this episode, and then, you know, you guys who listen regularly will know this going forward, just because I don't blast the team doesn't mean that I'm not disappointed in them, or that I don't think they played poorly. And, you know, I'm always gonna, so many things require a deep amount of nuance, so I always try to play devil's advocate. And the Clippers, the mood of the Clippers fan base in the last couple of years seems to be very anti-Clippers in a weird way. So by playing devil's advocate and trying to bring nuance and perspective into the debate, I almost always tend to come off as pro-Clippers. And I realize that, I get it. And the flip side to that is that the other reason why I tend to have that pro-Clippers perspective to bring to the debate is because I don't really like being negative. I know that a lot of people get caught up in their team and loving their team. And I know that sports is like a huge deal and an emotional deal to a lot of people. And I'm not going to pretend like it isn't to me. Obviously, I'm passionate about sports and about the Clippers because I spend all this time doing this podcast. And, you know, I know you guys suffer through that SeatGeek ad once a week, but trust me, I'm not getting rich off of this. You know, I'm doing it because I like it. And that's a big part of it for me. It's because I like it. It's not because I feel like I have to be here following the Clippers day in and day out and talk about it. It's because I enjoy watching the Clippers. I enjoy seeing the progression of the team, both game to game and year to year. I feel like I learn about basketball by watching intently and then by talking about it with people, both on my blog and now on this podcast that I have taken over in the last few months. And the main thing is I enjoy it. And when I get, if I were to get negative, like I see people on Twitter being, I wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't enjoy being a Clippers fan. I wouldn't enjoy being a podcast host or a basketball blogger. And these are all things that I kind of take nerdy pleasure in. I am a basketball nerd, and I don't think that it's maybe shocking to anyone to hear that or to hear me admit it because, like I said, I pour so many hours into maintaining the blog and hosting this podcast and watching all of the Clippers games. You know, when I am in LA, I pay out of my own pocket, like gas money and parking, to drive down and cover games. So this is a passion for me. It's something that I love. I love doing. But like I said, I love it. I don't want to hate it. And if it became something that I hated, there's nothing keeping me, you know, attached to the Clippers or to my website or even, you know, to this show that would make it worth it for me to have these things in my life if I hated the Clippers and I hated following them and all I ever had to say was like mean negative things about Doc Rivers and the players, even if they deserve them, even when things are at their worst, even when people mess up and they undeniably mess up. It's just not, and people are, you know, some people are different. I know they ride with the highs and lows of the team, and I get that, but you know, if we're gonna be talking during the next week about how poorly the Clippers have played, and I know the narrative is about how awfully they've played and since the All-Star break and getting healthy and how uninspired they are and how everyone thinks the team needs a new coach or maybe the team should just let the stars leave this summer and start over because clearly this isn't working anymore. I get everyone who's coming at it from that perspective, but that's not me. That negativity just makes it not an enjoyable thing for me. And so if that's you too, if you hate seeing all the negativity because it just makes being a Clippers fan and talking to people on Twitter and whatever not as fun for you, then cool. You know, you probably agree with a lot of what I have to say, or at least with my topic choice. And if you're someone who is angry, that's fine. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't listen to my show or follow me on Twitter. It just means that when I go through this whole episode without addressing the 10,000 people who've tweeted at me saying that Doc Rivers should be fired, and you get mad at me, why didn't you talk about Doc Rivers being fired? It's because I don't want to get overly negative. It wouldn't take me into a fun place as a person who spends so much of his life basically doing this stuff as a labor of love. So with that said, I'm going to get into something that I do love, and I want to talk about a reader email. This email is from Ryan Nock, and he said, he wrote me during halftime of the Clippers-Rockets game, and he basically said, the Clippers shoot the three ball better than the Rockets, but the Rockets shoot it more frequently, and the Rockets are obviously up by a lot. Ryan says, quote, I can't help but feel like the best strategy is to shoot threes every time. I looked it up, and the Clippers are the fourth best team from three at 37.7%, and the Rockets are 14th at 36.2%. So the expected value of every Rockets 3 is 3 times 0.362, so 1.086 points per possession, which is basically better than if someone shot 50% from 2. During the games, I just can't help but feel like the Clippers put in so much work getting these 2-point shots, then the Rockets come right back with 2 threes, and it's a wash. I feel like it demoralizes me, and I'm sure it demoralizes the Clippers too. So basically the question is, why not shoot more threes? The expected value is so much more, and you make the other team feel hopeless. One more thing I was wondering. Are the Clippers more prone to getting demoralized when faced with an onslaught of threes? It feels like they're less capable of keeping up with three heavy teams like the Warriors and Rockets than even the worst teams in the NBA. So a lot of what Ryan says is right. And it's stuff that, you know, people who have been thinking about, you know, the problem that the Warriors pose to other teams in the league have realized in the past couple of years. And it's something that actually the Houston Rockets, to their credit, have been working on for longer than anyone else with Daryl Morey, which is no matter how we think basketball ought to be played, and no matter how basketball has been played, and no matter how the best players are playing basketball, there's a math problem here. And the math problem is that a 45% shooter on 18-foot jump shots is considered an elite mid-range shooter if you make 45%. And a 30% three-point shooter is considered bad and should stop taking threes. Well, the 45% two-point shooter gets 0.9 points per possession on those shots. The 30% three-point shooter gets 0.9 points per possession on those shots. So what's the catch? They're producing the same amount, but yet because of this sentiment that we have of how basketball should be played, and again, how the best players play basketball, because, you know, Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki take a lot of mid-range jump shots, and we think that they're great, definitely a lot greater than some guy who shoots 30% from three. So it's hard for us to kind of reconcile this math reality with our perception of what basketball should be or what we think basketball is. But you're right, Ryan, when you say this. Three-point shots are hopelessly more efficient than two-point shots unless you can get all the way to the rim. And that's why when you look at the shot chart of a team like the Houston Rockets, it's almost all around the three-point arc and inside the paint. They don't take mid-range shots, or at least they try to minimize them. And that's something they've been doing for years, and people have criticized the style. People have said, by forcing the players into being robots and only taking certain types of shots, the team actually plays worse because the momentum of the game is off. Jamal Crawford has said that it's about rhythm. It's not necessarily, efficiency is a great thing to analyze, but when you're playing, it's about rhythm. It's not about efficiency. It's about the shot that feels like it's going to go in. But here we are. Look who the best team in the league has been. The Golden State Warriors, because of the three ball. And look who the second best offense in the league belongs to. The Houston Rockets, because they shoot the three ball like this. And so I think the Clippers, you know, to answer kind of the closing question in Ryan's email, I think the Clippers are more prone to getting demoralized when facing an onslaught of three, because I think everyone is more prone to be demoralized when facing an onslaught of three. Think about it. When a guy hits a pull-up jump shot, normally you play defense and he hit the shot over you, so you're not quite as demoralized. When a guy hits a three, it feels like teams find guys open on the perimeter late in possessions, and that can be really demoralizing to give up an open shot and give up 3 points instead of two. And then when a team gets hot, it feels like suddenly there's nothing you can do because the ball is zipping around the court and they're making every single shot. And it's killer. It's how teams like the Rockets and the Warriors put away games against even other good teams like the Clippers. There's certainly downfalls to the strategy. You know, the three ball is considered less consistent than other kinds of offense, so you've probably heard the phrase, live by the three, die by the three. There's also, you know, in the playoffs, you play a lot of better teams that are more focused, and they can focus on your offensive scheme more, and so if you limit what you do to perimeter jump shots, then they're able to focus that, and you don't have quite the diverse portfolio that of options that maybe a team like the Clippers has. And those points probably have some merit, but at the end of the day, three is more than two. It's a math problem, and the Warriors have been giving that math problem to the league for the last 3 years, and now the Rockets are giving it to the league too. And the Clippers certainly don't have an answer to that problem except for completely give up and rebuild the team around three-point shooters. And maybe this is a passing phase. You know, we've seen over the last few years, oh, now it's all about point guards. Now it's all about wings. Now it's all about big men. Now it's not about big men, and you can't win with a big man anymore. And now it seems like in the last year or two, having big men has kind of come back. So, you know, the game goes through phases, through stylistic phases, and a lot of teams try to play catch-up to whatever the popular style is and can never catch that team like the Warriors who created this brand of basketball. A lot of teams try to keep doing their own thing instead, and quite frankly can't. And that's where the Clippers have been. They've tried to keep doing their own style of basketball. They haven't been able to do it, or at least do it successfully against teams like the Warriors, who are very good at this new sort of space and pace style of play. So that's that. That's a note on the Clippers-Rockets game, and in a sense, the Clippers-Warriors and Clippers-Rockets as a matchup and the existential state of basketball. So, yeah, thanks, Ryan. We just talked about the math problem that is defining the NBA. I want to briefly get into this Clippers-Bucks game tonight, although I want to wrap up the episode, so I think I'm just going to leave it with one note about the Greek Freak, a guy who I'm really excited to see play against the Clippers and play against a good team, because even though obviously he's been so acclaimed and you see the highlights everywhere and you see the stat lines and you know he's having a great year, he's not a guy who we get to see very often as Clippers fans. And it's not like, you know, at least for me, I'm not one of these national writers who watches 8 games on League Pass every night. I'm going to grad school. You know, I have a life, and I spend so much of that life on the Clippers, I don't really have the energy to follow a second team. So I know that Giannis is having a great season, but I haven't really gotten a chance to see him outside of a quarter here and there. You know, they beat the Rockets in January. I saw like the fourth quarter of that game, but I haven't seen a lot. So I'm excited to see really a full 48 minutes, how he puts a game together. And then the nice thing is we get to see these Bucks again in a couple weeks. So it's not like if he has one good game or one bad game tonight, you know, we'll get to see him correct for a little bit. Or maybe even if he struggles in both games or excels in both games, we'll see what the Clippers do to see kind of what his strengths and weaknesses are. But just briefly on his stat line, he's averaging 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists a game, which is like Blake Griffin-esque. And he's, you know, he's tremendous. He's so lanky and athletic. You know, he has the on-ball skills, but the one thing that he doesn't really do is shoot the ball very well, really outside of 5 feet. Although, you know, the thing that people always said with Blake Griffin was all he can do is dunk. And the thing that I always said was, well, he's scoring 20 plus points a game on 50% shooting. So if all he can do is dunk, he's doing a pretty good job of getting a bunch of dunks and making them. Well, you can criticize Giannis for not being able to shoot outside of 5 feet, but he's scoring 23 points a game. And he's shooting 53% from the field, so he's doing a pretty good job of getting a lot of shots at the rim and converting them at a very high rate. So I'm excited to see him. This is definitely a game that the Clippers should win, and you'd hope that against a team like the Bucks, that you know, at 26-33, obviously are not at the same level as teams like San Antonio, Golden State, and Houston that the Clippers have lost to recently. You'd hope the Clippers can use this game to maybe try to start to get back on track. At the same time, the Bucks are hungry. It's not like they're particularly hot, having lost their two last games, and then being just, you know, 5-5 in their last 10. It's not like that's great one way or the other, but they are pushing for a playoff spot. They have 33 losses. They're in 10th place. In 9th place is Miami, who also has 33 losses but has 2 more wins. And in 8th place is Detroit, who has 32 losses. So they're still right there. If they can play good basketball the rest of the season, they could still make the playoffs. And even though that probably means losing to Cleveland in the first round, I think that's a big deal for a young, you know, budding team building around this growing young superstar to get a round of playoff experience. And you get knocked out, oh well. It's the same boat that I'm in with the New Orleans Pelicans, that yeah, whoever is the 8 seed is probably going to get swept by the Golden State Warriors in the first round. But if you're the Pelicans, just making the playoffs and maybe taking a game off the Warriors and pushing them to 5 gives you something to start building now that you have DeMarcus Cousins on your team with Anthony Davis. it gives you just a little bit of a resume, like, yeah, you know what, next year we're going to have a full season of these guys, and hey, free agent, if you come play with us, we'll be able to be that much better and get into the Memphis, Oklahoma City tier. I think it's good for teams like that to make a spot. I don't think Minnesota is going to make the playoffs in the West this year, and I didn't think they had a chance really from even in the summer in the preseason. But I think next year they probably will be in that boat where they'll get a low seed and get bounced really quickly, but it'll be really good for them to have that experience. We saw this with the Clippers in the kind of their first year together. They actually did beat the Memphis Grizzlies in their first round series, but it was rugged and painful. And then when they played a really good team in the Spurs in the second round, they got swept and bounced. And even in series that they've lost since then, they've always been more competitive and a little more seasoned. And we actually saw them come back a couple years ago and eliminate the San Antonio Spurs, which was like a great sign of growth for a team that you can also look at and say, well, they still have never gotten past that round in their 5 years together. Yeah, but they came back and bounced the Spurs, even though it was a different Spurs team. That was a cool progression. I think a cool moment for Chris Paul, who's always been stuck behind the Spurs, it seems like, in his playoff career. With that, we're going to call it an episode. As always, you can tweet at me, you know, feedback, questions, anything like that, at Lucas J. Han. You can email me, lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. You can, just to chat Clippers, tweet at ClipsNationSBN. Go ahead and check out all the articles on ClipsNation.com from our cool authors, and check out the threads if you dare. It's probably a little negative in there right now, but you know, maybe you want to go in and argue with some people about why they should be, you know, not so negative about this team. Maybe you want to go in and join, you know, join the sadness. Maybe that's how you're feeling. You just need a little companionship in the thread. And then, you know, on and off, I do from time to time, intermittently, do Facebook Live videos on the Clips Nation Facebook. So if you do want to catch those and maybe leave me some comments if I'm doing a Q&A, you can just type Clips Nation in the Facebook search bar, click like, it's that easy. And with that, that's our week. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new slate of episodes of Locked On Clippers. This is your host, Lucas Han, signing off.